It's been 5 months since sequestration went into effect, enough time to at least partially gauge whether the massive government spending cuts have had the devastating impact that some predicted. Joining us now is New York Times Washington correspondent Ron Nixon, who covers the impact of legislation and regulatory policy on the rest of us. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Your area of expertise includes how legislative policy affects how consumers receive the services of things like Amtrak, the Postal Service, airlines, also consumer and highway safety and food and agricultural policy. Have all of these areas taken hits as a result of sequestration?
Well, it's been a mixed bag. Some areas have been hit harder than others. For instance, the FAA sort of got a reprieve, as well as meat inspectors at USDA, because in order for, you know, slaughterhouses and the meatpacking plants to operate, there has to be a federal inspector on site. So they got somewhat of a reprieve in the budget negotiations. But other areas, like the Federal Defenders Program, that provide lawyers for, you know, defendants and the federal court system, have seen, you know, massive cuts that have impacted their ability to do their jobs. Head Start is another area that has seen cuts. In some cases, your transportation for people who are on dialysis to get to and from those sessions have been impacted. So it's been a mixed bag. Some agencies have been hit harder than others, and it's starting to show in some areas again. Play out exactly the way that people thought it would.
Well, the air safety situation made headlines because Congress didn't realize that it was going to affect them, so they made an exception there. But in these other areas, perhaps in some cases, they're even happy that sequestration is having an effect, for example, on the food stamp the food stamp program. But I was wondering about whether sequester has had an impact on diplomacy. An article you co-authored with Michael D. Shearer in Monday's New York Times says the defense secretary is traveling to Afghanistan two times a year instead of four because the budget won't allow those other trips?
Right. The Office of Management and Budget at the White House sent out a memo saying that travel budgets had to be cut by 30%. So everyone is feeling the pain there, including the Secretary of Defense. We also talked about the our trade negotiations because staffers aren't allowed to travel. So they're either not going or trying to find other creative ways of doing it, such as video conferencing, which is not ideal for diplomacy or for trade.
Now, isn't it a bit embarrassing when defense officials at the Pentagon can't go to meetings with the International Afghanistan Coalition in London and Rome because they didn't have the travel budget?
Well, that's what they're saying. And the people that we're talking to for that the story that you mentioned certainly say that. But, well, you know, this is embarrassing on a lot of levels, that here we have all of these other nations that we can't meet with because we just don't have it in our budget because of sequestration.
Are members of Congress going on fewer foreign junkets?
Well, it's not an area that I cover, but there are fewer people traveling abroad from Congress and as well as your staff. And some of that is just self-imposed, because if you're going to cut the other portions of the government, then you certainly don't want to turn around and then start going on these junkets.
And then we have NASA having to pull out of a national space symposium in Colorado Springs in our own country, while representatives from France, Germany, and China were able to make the trip.
That was, I think, one of the things that staffers at NASA talked about as being really embarrassing, that here you have international conference that the agency has attended for, you know, nearly 30 years, and you've got people there from, as you said, from China, from France, from UK, you know, from all the other big space-faring nations, so to speak, and NASA is based here and can't fly across the country to attend the Space Symposium in Colorado Springs, just across the country.
You also say that the Centers for Disease Control have significantly cut down the amount of training that they do across the country that's intended to prepare local and state officials for emergencies. Is that also due to travel cuts?
It is. They have been trying to be frugal for years because budget cuts have occurred even before sequestration, but with sequestration, the cuts are even deeper. And so the spokesperson that we interviewed, she also travels around the country talking to local health department and other, you know, emergency management officials about communicating risk and things like that to the public. But because of the cuts and reduction in travel, that's not something that she can do now. So what they are doing is to provide those services through video conferencing, which, again, is not ideal. It's not like having a person in front of you where you can ask questions face-to-face. But they're trying to make do with that.
My guest is Ron Nixon, who's Washington correspondent for The New York Times. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. You've written about the sequester's effects on the food stamp program. Aren't some now in jeopardy of losing their eligibility for the program?
Well, that is separate from the sequester. That is there are two things. One is there was a provision in the stimulus bill that passed in 2009 that allowed more people, increased the amount of benefits for people on food stamps so that they were able to get a little bit extra per month to offset the effects of the economy. The other portion of that is...
And that's in the agriculture bill, or is
no,
that...
No, that was part of the stimulus bill.
Mm-hmm.
The portion that you're talking about in terms of the deeper cuts, that is as part of negotiations for the farm bill, which reauthorizes farm programs as well as the food stamp program. So the Senate passed its version of the farm bill, and they are going to cut about $4.5 billion from it, mainly, they say, by making it tightening eligibility. The House first proposed cutting $20.5 billion from the food stamp program, and that caused quite a commotion in the House of Representatives. The bill did not pass because Democrats didn't want those cuts, and many Republicans thought the cuts didn't go far enough. So they came back and passed a farm bill, but for the first time since about 1973, it did not have the food stamp program in it. That's the House farm bill. So they are now saying that they want to pass a separate nutrition food stamp bill that would have cuts double what they were asking for before, up to $40 billion a year, that the House Republicans say that they want, and that will change the eligibility for millions of people who get food stamps.
Well, many House Republicans say they want to get rid of the food stamp program altogether, but the Health Impact Project, a joint collaboration between the Pew Charitable Trusts and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, determined that cuts of the food stamp program would not only affect the ability of low-income families to feed themselves, but would also increase poverty.
That's correct.
Is that argument being made in Congress?
It is being made in Congress.
It would also lead to increased instances of illness, they're saying.
Right, because if you don't have the proper nutrition, you're more susceptible to illness. And the argument is being made in Congress, mainly by Democrats, and Representative McGovern from Massachusetts has been one of the leaders in making that argument by saying that why don't we, instead of cutting these massive cuts to food stamps, why don't we cut the crop insurance program that the government pays 62% of the premiums for farmers to get crop insurance.
But aren't many members of Congress also farmers who receive those benefits?
There are several members of Congress who receive agricultural benefits such as crop insurance and direct payments. One of those, Representative Fincher from Tennessee was criticized because he has gotten numerous crop subsidies while complaining that the food stamp program needs to be cut.
You mentioned Head Start. It was reported just this week that approximately 57,000 children were cut from the Head Start program because of sequestration. That's already?
Yes. And because when Congress gets back, they will only have about 7 legislative days before the fiscal year ends. What we think is going to happen is that they're going to pass a continuing resolution, basically saying keep the same spending levels that you had last year into the next year, which would mean the cuts would largely remain in place, and you'll see the same kind of impact on Head Start or the Federal Defenders Program or these other programs that we've talked about.
Well, as children are being cut out, but what about the ones who remain? Have their programs been scaled back?
Programs have been scaled back in some places. My colleague Jonathan Weissman, back in May, I believe, wrote an article about the impact on Head Start and some of the things that the local officials were doing, you know, holding sales and having their children paint chairs so they could sell them to offset the cuts, the federal cuts to the program.
What about school lunch programs? Are they being cut back as well?
The school lunch program has so far not been cut back because it, like the food stamp program, was not part of the sequestration.
You mentioned the reports that a federal court-appointed private attorneys will take a significant pay cut next year, receiving $15 less per hour. That on top of the fact that sequestration has reduced the number of public defenders?
Right.
So that would mean that there'd be more reliance on private attorneys for indigent defendants, and they'd be paid less?
They'd be paid less, but even being paid less, they're still more costly than the federal public defenders because the private attorneys are paid by the hour, where the federal public defender are staff.
So is this penny wise and pound foolish?
And it appears that way.
Judge William B. Traxler, Jr., the U.S. Judicial Conference chairman, stated that the cuts were not sustainable in the long term and certainly would not be required if the judiciary were receiving an appropriate level of funding in this account. Have we been hearing similar things from other people and agencies that are affected by the cuts?
We have. On just about all the agencies that have been cut, as you mentioned, the article that I co-authored with Michael Scheer, the agencies are saying, look, we simply cannot do our jobs with these restrictions, with these cuts in place, with the travel restrictions and the restrictions on going to conferences. You know, these are not junkets that we're just off like the GSA scandal, but these are conferences and travel that we must do in order to do our jobs.
So who's expected to make up the difference, to absorb the costs? Private sector?
Well, in some cases, it's the private sector, but for the most part, no one knows. These are just cuts that are in place, and the agencies are supposed to just make do with that.
We're not hearing much about these, perhaps because we hear about the cuts piecemeal. A library system that suddenly has been forced to shut down or to cut back on its hours. Head Start gets its separate article. What has the overall impact of sequestration actually been? Has it been as devastating as its critics predicted?
Again, it's been mixed because at first there were across the board, the announcement was there would be across the board cuts. And then you had, if, for instance, with the Ag Department, you had the meat industry saying, look, hey, we're going to be shut down. You're going to devastate our industry because you have to have a federal inspector in the plants in order for us to even do anything. Otherwise, the meat can't go out. So there was exceptions made to that. The FAA said, hey, we're going to have these backlogs. There's planes are just going to be circling because we don't have the air traffic controllers to deal with all the traffic. So exceptions were made there. The Justice Department got permission to move money around so they wouldn't have to furlough staffers or cut back on staffers. Other agencies, that didn't happen. So it's a mixed bag.
Well, a second round of cuts is slated to take place October 1st.
That's correct.
Will they be more cuts, or will they be continuing the cuts that we already have
continuing
seen?
Continuing the cuts at the same level that we already have. And that's, again, why there is a big push to get something done before that happens. Although, as I mentioned before, there are only 7 legislative days in September when Congress gets back from its August recess. So it's unlikely that they'll be able to do much in that time frame. So what's likely to happen is that they're going to just extend the cuts and the budgetary limits that they had for fiscal year 2013.
Then there are some people who are threatening to shut down the government completely.
That's correct.
That's unlikely, but are you surprised by the almost lack of protests that we've been hearing for the cuts so far? Because some of the things you describe are rather alarming.
They are, but I think a lot of them have been sort of out of the public eye that, you know, we will hear about things like the air traffic controllers, or we'll hear about things about like the meat inspectors. But a lot of the other things are out of the public eye. You don't really think about them because it's not stuff that you have seen every day, you see every day, and that you have a constituency for a lot of the programs, and some constituents are louder than others.
Ron Nixon is a Washington correspondent for the New York Times. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Leonard, thank you for having me.